He says, I just want to say thank you for sending my dad on that program. He's back now. He stopped beating my mom, goes to church, and he's an awesome dad. Thanks. Isn't that what being a CEO is all about? It's not the money. If I have to go back and think what my most important moment in my career is so far, it's that little boy.
Well, you can hear the emotion in Peter's voice as he recalls that moment when the son of one of his employees came to him to thank him for providing life-changing services that had altered the direction of his dad's life. I have to agree with Peter, and I'm sure you do as well, that I can't imagine a greater outcome from being the CEO of a company. That's the eternal ROI that Peter will talk about in this episode. Peter delivered this talk at an FCCI conference several years ago, and we want to encourage you to attend this year's conference where you'd be able to hear from great speakers like Donald Miller and Richard Blackaby and Jordan Rayner, Catherine Egan, and other kingdom-minded successful business leaders from around the FCCI community. Learn more about this year's conference, September 15 through 18 in Lake Tahoe, when you go to conference.fcci.org. Well, here's Peter to provide some very practical insights into how he has pursued God's calling in his life as a business owner through Polydeck Screen Company and their influence in the mining industry worldwide. We pray that this will be applicable for you in your business context as well.
So what is your purpose? And so I came back from that retreat all fired up and excited. And Dennis said something in his talk. He said, you know what? What is the scariest moment in your life where you required the most courage? I just come to that moment. What was I going to do after that retreat? What was my action item? To develop a mission statement, a purpose statement, communicate it, and live by it. That sounds easy, but let me tell you, when you haven't done it and you've lived a certain way for all your life and suddenly you've got to change, that is scary as all get out. What are your customers going to think? What are your employees going to think? What are my senior management going to think? I'm insane. I said, what did you drink? And because it was so abrupt, it was from one day to the next. So I sat down with them, and what it was is I had fallen in love with Christ. It was a love affair. And like many of you have children, there comes a point in your kid's life where they turn to you and say, Dad, I love him, and I don't really care what you say. That's the way I felt. I love the master of the universe. I don't really care what you say. I'm going to move forward with this. It was like, but at that moment, you talk about courage, it felt like I was on the edge of the Grand Canyon looking down and saying, that sounds good that he's the master of the universe, but that's a long freaking way down there. But God asked me to jump. And after much prayer, I said, I'm all in. If you truly are the master of the universe, can you help me fly? I said, yes. And I jumped. Went back to the boardroom and I said to the team, I tell you what, we're going to work on a purpose statement and then a mission statement, core values, and we're going to live by them. And they looked at me as if to say, what did you drink? Where did you go? You were supposed to go on a relaxing weekend and you come back like this? It was a change for me. So here's what we came up with. This is our purpose of our company. And I challenge each of you, do you have a purpose statement for your company? And have you communicated it? The purpose for our company is to serve our customers and stakeholders with excellence. I think all of you can agree on that. To do what? To achieve profitable growth. That's okay. Most of us can agree on that. But here comes the tricky part. Because all of that enables us and is the core that allows us to care for people in a way that honors God. That was a new thing. The next thing we came up with was our core values. The core values are the core of how we're going to do it. We have the purpose, but how are we going to do it? This is the how-to statement. And this basically says we are a company grounded in the Christian values of humility, honesty, integrity, respect, kindness, and a sense of social responsibility. Our goal is to create eternal value by striving to honor God in all that we do. This is reflected in how we conduct our business and how we care for our employees who are our greatest assets. No longer are they a resource, they are an asset. They are souls. God puts souls in our care. How are we going to take care of them? One of the things that I want to just point out a few words in there, one of them is humility. Humility is the core virtue of all other virtues. It's like the grandfather of all virtues. Without that, you have pride, and pride leads to destruction. So how was I going to teach that to our chief vice presidents and our senior managers? I said, I tell you what, first thing we're going to do, at our next company function, we're going to implement humility. They said, what do you mean? I said, we are going to put aprons on, and we're going to serve every employee a steak to their liking, and we're going to serve that to them. They're like, we're going to do what? And we did it. It changed the culture of our company. So these words on here are not just a bunch of words. We've got programs and all sorts of things. I don't have enough time today to share all those with you. But every one of those words has an actionable item behind it that lives out those core values. And we have metrics and we have a whole bunch of things that helps us to live out those core values. One of them is the word striving. We strive to create eternal value. You know what? We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm a broken pencil. How do I create perfection? I can't. But yet, I'm there. If I make a mistake, I'm willing to say sorry. I'm willing to fix whatever I did wrong. We have a survey that we send out to all our employees. And when we goof up, they let us know. But then we go back and fix it. We have individual discussions and we do fix it. So there's a bunch of words in there that kind of just look like simple words. But there are a whole host of key issues. One of the biggest challenges we had as a company was, how do employees see a Christian company that says that kindness is a core value? Do you know, once we implemented this, after about a year or two, people started to expect us to allow them to get away with sub-performance. They said, but you're a caring company. How can you fire me? What's up with that? So we had to create a whole new cultural development of saying, this is Christian caring within a high-performance environment. That was another whole journey for us to go down, because Christians want to live to perfection and live to an excellence. And so that was some of what we try to do. This was some of the fears that I was faced with, and I'll just share that with you and with people that you possibly can help to encourage. There are four main fears. The first one is, what will the employees think? What will everyone else think? My family, what will they all think? I'm nuts. The second thing was, will I be sued? This is a key component. It's probably the scariest thing living in America, that we're going to get sued. I come from South Africa. We don't really know about suing, but when I got here, I truly found out. Anyway. But I just want to encourage you. There's an organization that's here today. It's the Pacific Justice Institute, and they have a video. Yeah. Where are you, Brad? Wherever he's at. They've got a really cool video out in the Resource Center that gives you the nuts and bolts of how to do this in a way that protects you as an owner. Because you don't want to go and be stupid. God gave us a brain, and he expects us to use it. And he expects us to use resources that are out there that keep us out of trouble. There are wonderful ways for us to do this any and every way we can in a way that protects us. The next one is, can I afford it? I'm going to share with you a whole bunch of programs that we've developed. And you say to yourself, how can I go and afford that? I'll go broke. I'll share with you a lot of what happens when you live the God economic program. Then the last one is, will I lose customers? Probably the scariest thing in the world for me was, I said, if I'm going to do this, I've got to do this all in or not. So I said to our sales guys, we've got 40 sales guys all over the world, I said, I want you to put this on the back of your business card. Have the purpose and the core value statement. And I want you to have those cards. And the first reaction was, how about you do it? I said, okay, I'll do it. The next guy said, well, how about you give us two? You give us one with all the stuff on the back and one without it, and we'll kind of decide where it's best. I said, no, it's an all or nothing. You work at this company, you've got to put on the back of the card. This is what we believe. But it's scary. It says we are a company grounded on Christian values. Right away, that word is offensive. But you've got to be all in or not. And so I put it on the card. And one of the first places I went to, I'm in Indonesia. Some of the biggest mines in the world are in Indonesia. So I went to one of them and handed, at that point we had about 10% of their business, and slid my card over to the operations manager. He walked around the plant with me, we looked at everything, and he said, you know, I like your product. I think there's a lot of potential here for you to help us with. We get in the car that night. We go back to the hotel. He's driving. He says, I read your business card. And he's a Muslim man. And I thought, ooh, now it's getting serious, man. That thing about jumping off the edge of the cliff. I hope you got a parachute, big guy. And let me tell you the story. He said, Peter, I tell you what. Those values on the back of your business card, I admire you for them. I admire a man who's willing to stand up for what they believe in. And every one of those values that you have are my values. He said, we may have a different approach to our religious perspective, but I believe we have the same God. And you know what we spent the rest of the evening doing? He took me to the home, his home. We spent the evening talking about faith and family. The next day we went up to the plant. He pulled his whole group together. He said, I got something I want to share with you guys. I think Peter's company is able to provide all our product, and I want to hear what you guys say. Not one of them had anything negative to say. He said, okay, we're going to give Peter 100% of our business, and here's the kicker. We're going to do it for the life of the mine. That is unheard of in our industry. No one has ever heard that. So guess what? I come back to Spartanburg and I said to the sales guys, nah, 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 nah. Say no more. So what do our employees think of this journey? Okay, I can stand up here and kind of tell you all the beautiful stuff, but what do the employees think? Okay, this guy doesn't think very much.
Christians and non-Christians alike.
Okay, hang on, let's just back him up a little. Give him a chance to talk again. Okay, we ready back there?
I think that has helped all of us to become better people. Christians and non-Christians alike, because the Christian core values and the Christians practicing those core values, of course, the non-Christians see that and they tag along. And they see that it's a positive thing, it's a good thing, it's good values, or it's helped the workplace.
So if those are the values, how do we live those out? How do we actually implement this thing? So what we did was we developed a team called a caring team. We took a group of people from every department in the organization that were unanimously selected by their peers, and we put them on a team. First thing we did was, if you're serious about caring for people in a way that honors God, do you have, every one of your companies has a VP of sales or a senior manager of sales, someone for HR, someone for finance, right? But do you have a guy who's a VP of caring? We put one in. That's him right there. He's our care and culture manager. That's his only job at our company, to care for our employees in a way that honors God. Then we said, okay, we need a team, because if this is going to be engagement throughout the organization, we can't just allow one guy to make the decisions, the CEO, who says, okay, we're going to do this program. It needs to come from them. So what we did is we put 1% of our total revenue in a pot. And we said to our employees, you guys decide how to spend this money. And this is the team that he put together. Each one of these areas, we've divided our kind of stakeholders into three groups: employees, the employees' families, and our community. And every one of these three people is in charge of taking care of those constituents. Underneath them, they have a bunch of people on that caring team that support them from every part of the business. And it's amazing to see how that has developed, the engagement of every employee, which is critical. This is the matrix. In the breakout session just now, I had an opportunity to share our matrix. It's a very simple tool that I encourage all of you to take with you. We've got some of these. Armando is up front here, and hopefully we'll be able to hand them out to anyone who's interested. What you're going to hear for the next 5 or so minutes, we've got in a handout, and basically is a tool for you to figure out what your caring program looks like in areas that you feel called to put one in. So basically, it's divided into these areas. On the vertical side are our stakeholders, our employees, their families, and the community. Every human being has three groups of needs. They have a physical need, an emotional need, and then a spiritual need. And because we see them as children of God and not a resource, that part on the right-hand side is probably the most important part. We want to develop programs that help people grow spiritually and help them on their way to heaven. As I said to you earlier, Mother Teresa, she says we can do no great things, only small things with great love. And these little programs you see are no big fancy programs. They're simple things that touch the hearts of employees. And the key to it is many companies out there, multinational companies, global companies, they do a really good job of the six blocks to the left. So in other words, the physical and emotional side. How many people actually create programs that care about the spirituality of a human being, which we believe is the most important component? Without that, it's just stuff. It's just a bunch of stuff. So how do you create those programs? What we try to do was we started most of our programs on the left-hand side. And it's really about displaying Christ's love. Because you have to display God's love before you can declare it. There's an old saying, it says, I can't hear what you say until I know that you care. Let me say that again. I can't hear what you say until I know that you care. So you can come with the fanciest spiritual plan and Bibles and all these stuff, but unless he knows you care about him personally, his family, and his soul, he's not going to listen to you. So how do you create that feeling of engagement? You do that by caring for people in a way that really meets their physical and emotional needs. So if you look at how Jesus taught us, he said to us, if you go to a beggar and all you tell him is, bless you, brother, what have you done? You need to feed him. And so that's what this plan is. It's based on Christ's example. St. James says a really good thing. He says, faith without works is dead. That's what this program is. If we don't have works of love, faith is just someone that hands Bibles out. And so this whole program is designed around that simple philosophy. And so I want to share with you some of the programs that we came up with. These are on the left-hand side. For example, one of the things we did, we came up with a home repair. We go out to employees' homes as a team. We repair the home at no cost to them with employees volunteering. We have a car repair fund. If your car breaks down, we'll come and pick it up, repair it, and bring it back to you at no charge. For you, and you know what? For your spouse too. What? Really? Why would you do that? Because God has blessed us and we're passing those blessings on to you. We had another program, an addiction recovery program. In the past, the old Peter, if you were on drugs, guess where you'd wind up? Gone. But is that the way Jesus would handle it? What did he do to people that were in trouble? What did he do to the lady that was caught in adultery? Did he say, you're gone? He said, you know what? I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And so what this program really is about here is helping our employees who come up with addiction issues. We send them on rehabilitation. We send them a 12-week rehabilitation course. We keep their job open for them while they're gone. We put a temp in their job. Then we pay them 2/3 of their salary while they're gone. Because if they don't, they're not prepared to go on that program because who's there to feed mom and the kids? So we pay them while they're gone. And when they return back successfully, we give them a bonus and their job back. Isn't that cool? But the old Peter could never do that. Let me show you what God did. The very first program we put on together like that, we helped this gentleman. And we were at an event. We serve at the soup kitchen with our employees and families. And we had one of the young boys came and grabbed my leg. And I looked down. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He said, sir, I just came to say thank you. I said, thank you for what? He said, I just want to say thank you for sending my dad on that program. He's back now. He stopped beating my mom. He goes to church. And he's an awesome dad. Thanks. Wow. Wow is all I could say. God came and showed me a little piece of heaven. Isn't that what being a CEO is all about? It's not the money. If I have to go back and think what my most important moment in my career is so far, it's that little boy. And you know, today, because of that, do you know who he is? He's the manager of a restaurant chain in South Carolina because of what happened to his dad. So we can have generational impacts that create eternal value as CEOs with simple programs like this. But it requires the heart of God and his mercy and forgiveness to be able to do that. I could go on for hours with these programs, but I just share with you in the little time we have. Some of the other things we did, scholarships for our employees, for their children, single parent support clubs that we've got, marriage retreats. We send people on premarital retreats, on marriage retreats for when they're struggling. We help them with financial budgeting, all sorts of things, loans, you name it, we got it. But then, once you have that on the left, you earn the right to share the source of that love, and that is Christ himself. And so once we put these caring programs in place, people were starting to listen. They were prepared to listen. One of the things that we put in place was a chapel. Build a chapel in the center of our business. We have Bible studies now where employees are invited to come. Do you know that over 70 employees come to every Bible study now? People that don't go to church on Sunday, but they come to our Bible study. Isn't that cool? It's really, really the way that we've tried to, as Bruce Wilkinson and William, my dear friend, said, Peter, you're a priest. I didn't understand what that is, but now we have that in our own company, and it's so cool.
You are a priest in the marketplace. If that language seems foreign to you, as it did to Peter Freisler so many years ago, let me encourage you to listen to podcast episodes 1-8 with Bruce Wilkinson as he provides the theology of leading a company for Christ. God has called us a royal priesthood, and our role as business owners and leaders is to live into that calling from God to exhibit his character in our business endeavors. Nothing could be more effective in living out the gospel and being authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's what FCCI is all about. That's why we provide business leadership groups that meet weekly all around the country and via Zoom. It's why we provide local events and national conferences that bring Christian leaders together to inspire each other, lean into this journey together, and live out this eternal calling that we've received from God. It's for all of us. You can learn more at fcci.org. Thanks for listening, and may God encourage your journey as you follow hard after Christ.